Got the rain coming down here, 45 degrees. It is Friday, and twice a month I get to get all my questions about insurance answered with Amanda Frederick, Ask Agent Amanda. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you here.
Good to be here.
We're going to talk about something today that's, I think, on everybody's mind if you're out driving around. We're talking safe driving.
Yes.
What's going on with this?
Well, this is on my mind. I just finished teaching a couple classes. I actually got to see Brianna, who you just had on.
Mm-hmm.
We teach those every so often, and they're free of charge, so we'll keep you posted on that. But it's on my mind because I've been talking about it, and specifically because trucks are on the road right now, right?
Yeah. A lot of trucks.
The farmers are doing what they need to do for us. They're out there hauling. And are we doing what we need to do for them to help keep the roads safe for them? So the first thing that I think is on my mind is talking about how close we follow people. So let me ask you, how close do you follow somebody when you're going through town?
Not very, because one of my pet peeves is people that are right up on my back bumper. That drives me insane.
Yes.
If you're in that much of a hurry, then you don't need to be traveling behind me because I'm never in that much of a hurry.
Yeah.
So no, tailgating's not cool with me.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Unfortunately, we know just by watching out here even that that's not everybody. So the first thing that I want to encourage everybody is to assess how closely you follow people. Make sure you're about 3 seconds behind them. And you might say, well, how do I measure 3 seconds? Well, pick something on the road in front of you and watch when the car in front of you goes past it, and then count to 3.
Easy.
Yeah, easy. But if you get to that item before they're there, or before 3, you're too close.
You're very close. Yeah, you're way too close.
So in really ideal conditions, three quarters of a second is how long it takes us to react.
That's the rule. Yeah.
That's the rule. So 3/4 of a second, if you slammed on your brakes, if you're going 30 miles an hour, how far do you think you travel in that 3/4 of a second?
Geez, I wouldn't have any idea.
Around 20 to 35 feet.
Okay, wow.
So that just gives you an idea on how far you go, even in that reaction time. Now imagine if you're right on somebody, that 30 feet, that's not going to be enough time to stop.
Right.
Especially now if you're following behind a large vehicle, give them more room. Not only because of if they stop, you want to be able to not hit them, because what are they hauling? Right?
Exactly.
Yes.
And again, I've had it happen. I've had that cracked windshield going, I was too close to this.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my insurance hat and my safe driving hat comes together there, because we pay out a lot of windshield claims this time of year.
I bet.
That could be avoided. You know, some of them can't. Those, you know, beats specifically seem to really fly through the air.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times it's because you're following too closely. So when we hear those calls, it's not my fault. I go, I have to bite my tongue sometimes.
Yes,
because
and no.
Of course,
yeah,
we want to take care of our customer, but usually we're following too close. So that is really a high point we spend a lot of time talking about. We have all the statistics to show how following closely results in so many unnecessary collisions.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Boy, that is great information. And again, you're talking reaction time.
Yeah.
And if something flies off a truck, you don't have that much time to react when you're up that close. It's going to hit you like right now.
It's going to get you in days like today where the roads are slick.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's maybe some mud on the road from these trucks too. You know, you're going to need to leave even more room, because it's going to take you even longer to stop. And I think we're also busy doing things that we forget that extra second in a situation like that could be the difference between a collision or not.
That's crucial. Yes, you're right on the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My number one is leave earlier than you think, right? Then you don't have to tailgate to
absolutely
get there. You don't have
absolutely
to be in such a hurry.
And I keep blaming it on my age too. It's like, you know, the older I get, the slower I drive.
Yeah.
You know, because I just like kind of looking around at things. And but I've never liked that. Even when I was a kid, I didn't like tailgaters.
Yeah.
So I was always cognizant of that myself. It's like don't follow too close.
It just creates unnecessary risk and unnecessary aggression, because then usually you're aggravated to being tailgated, and if you're tailgating, probably check your mood. Are you being an aggressive driver? You know, just take a breath, back off. You'll take a lot longer to get there if you collide with the vehicle in front of you.
Right. Do you have policies for road rage? That's my question.
Oh, that's not insurable at this point. So,
man, we're talking safe driving today. Ask Agent Amanda with Amanda Frederick. What other things can you tell us about being out there and being safe on the road?
Check your vehicle before you get in it. I mean, everything from a tire that has a low pressure, especially if you're going to be traveling any distance. We're in just this automatic habit of getting in our vehicle and taking off. But taking 20 seconds to walk around your vehicle, check your tires, make sure everything, check your mirrors when you get in your vehicle. Even just walking around your vehicle, especially like me, I have children, they might be out playing. Did they throw something behind the car? Is there a bike parked behind me? Taking that extra few seconds before we leave to make sure our vehicle is in good condition and there isn't anything weird with it, because you don't want to be discovering something wrong while you're going down the road that could then potentially create a collision for you. You know, if your mirrors aren't correctly where you want them and you find out as you're going down Dakota and you take 2 seconds to adjust your mirror, well, that might be enough time to not notice the pedestrian walking or something. So you want to have your vehicle ready to go every single time you drive, and taking that time before you get in there to do that can really prevent things on the down the road.
Absolutely.
The other thing that we see a lot is parking lot collisions. You know, especially Walmart, that's a really easy one to, you know, have an incident because there's so much going on there. So my number one tip in parking lot is avoid backing up if you can. So when you find a parking spot, find a spot that you can pull up and into and then pull up and out of.
Okay.
Yeah. Backing
Just
up.
Pull straight out. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. There's enough room usually at Walmart. You may have to park a little further, or Econo or some of these bigger lots.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to park a little further away to get that convenience, but that will really save you on the risks associated with backing up. So anytime you can avoid that backup, I say do it. Park somewhere else where you can pull in and out. Or if you're a really good backup, backer inner, I don't know if that's a real word.
It is now.
Okay, it is now. Do a 90-degree back in and pull into the space, because there's less risks as you back into a parking space than when you back out of a parking space.
Sure, that would make sense.
Yeah, so you really just want to avoid the backup if at all possible. That's where we see a lot of collisions again.
Good stuff, man. Great information.
Yeah.
That's why I'm glad you come in here every couple of Fridays.
Good.
And talk
well,
to
I
us.
Hope that somebody can hear that today. And if you're tailgating right now, take
Stop
a little
it.
Breather and back off.
Stop
yeah.
it. Yeah. Just pause, take a breath, and slow
yep.
down a little bit.
Slow down. Yep.
Amanda, great to have you in here.
Great
we'll
to
see
be
you
here.
In a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir.
Stay safe out there.
Thank you.
Ask Agent Amanda. We talk with Amanda twice a month here on Fridays, the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Good morning.
This is the Ag Central Radio Network. I'm News Director Eric Johnson.
Food price inflation is easing down into a so-called normal level. Gary Crawford has more.
The new Consumer Price Index shows that during September, prices for all items in the economy rose 0.2%, putting the inflation rate 3.7% higher than this time a year ago. However, for food at the grocery store,
we see things are looking a little better on the food side.
USDA economist Megan Schweitzer says that last month, grocery store food prices overall
rose by 0.1% in September, and they were 2.4% higher than a year ago.
And that 2.4% number, that is significant.
2.4% is right in line with what food prices for food at home have changed over the past 20 years.
That's considered a normal rate of food price inflation. Normal. During September, prices actually went down for several food categories: fish and seafood, fats and oils such as butter, fresh vegetables, cereal and bakery products. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
On Thursday's Farm Talk, I visited with North Dakota Ag Commissioner Doug Goring.
So just any kind of thoughts on an extension here and what you're hearing?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. It's not that people have a lot of problems with this farm bill. I think what concerns people is having something established so that you can look at predictability and certainty. And that just that doesn't always happen when you're going to just extend it for 3 months. But if you know that some agreement can be reached and you can have 5 years, that's helpful. I think the concern with